January 31st, 2020 is the Live from Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Friday. I know I just did one a couple days ago, but I got a request because my memory got jogged that fucking Brother Danko is back in tour mode. And why not let people know? You got a bunch of California gigs. I got to tell you, we play John Coltrane Locomotion because fucking Brother Danko is a locomotive. And Bounce, some live stuff. Probably playing Bounce, maybe, on this little tour you got, right?
Maybe. It just all depends on what happens, or whatever we feel like, or whatever it's going to go down. If someone makes a special request, maybe, but yeah.
Well, there's a little spiel you got going at the beginning of the tune, and you say, I got to look at the fucking set list, because I don't know what's next. So that's good. Banner's always good right at gigs because you gotta make a connect with the gig goers. Look, when did we last talk? It was last year sometime, right?
I think it's almost to the week. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about in between what's happened.
Well, let's see. We did I think I was on Watt from Pedro's show just before we went on tour with Nashville Pussy. And we did that tour. It was great. We had a lot of fun with those guys. Our album came out, A Rock Supreme. And we toured that, and we went on tour with Volbeat this past fall in Europe. And now we just got back from Belgium this past Monday. And now we're headed out to San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, and Huntington Beach.
Nothing up north?
No, I think San Fran is about as north as we get.
Okay. And where? Ramona's? Bottom of the Hill?
Bottom of the Hill. Yeah. With Junkyard and Zed.
Wow, is it the Junkyard with Chris?
Yes, but I don't think he's currently in the lineup, and neither is Brian, but I think all is cool in that camp with them, and they're just going to join us.
That was years ago, right? It was the Minor Threat guys and the Big Boy guys.
Yeah, that was the thing. And when I was, just watching TV and I saw Brian Baker, with a cut-off jean jacket playing Southern-style blues rock, I was intrigued.
Maybe he's helping Bad Religion.
Yeah, he is. He's in Bad Religion now. So Bad Religion is his full-time gig, but he... I think he comes by when he can to join them on stage, and I think he's even in one of their newest videos playing guitar. So I think everyone's cool in that camp, but they acknowledge that, Brian's got a fairly big full-time day job to do.
Okay, and you still got the same drummer man.
Yes, Rich Knox on drums. He's been with us for 7 years.
Right. Well, I know for a little while there, you and JC were going through some drummers a little bit. So, 7 years now.
But yes.
Is that the longest time for a Danko drummer, man?
It is. Yeah, he has broken the record. And there's no signs of stopping. All three of us get along very well, and it's great. It's really fun touring these days.
And where are you right now? Where are you talking to me via Skype?
Toronto, Canada.
So you ain't got to California yet. Okay, that's coming though, right?
Yeah, next week we'll be there playing.
Okay. So what's Toronto like right now, end of January?
Surprisingly not as snowy as I think a lot of Americans would think. We did have a storm a couple of weeks ago, but now it's just cold. Just bitterly cold. Not deathly cold, just bitterly cold.
Yeah, I finally played there again.
Really?
With the Missing Men back in October at the Horseshoe. Sold out.
People
were very kind to us. It'd been a long time, since a Mike Watt tour. Now, last time I was in Toronto, it was actually that Fort Young. It was something with the Stooges. So I hadn't done a Mike Watt tour in a while.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, if you came by in October, I think we were away on tour with Volbeat that time, yeah.
In Europe?
Yeah, so you definitely missed it.
Yeah, and they only did one. So, in spring, like a year from this spring, I'm going to do another big ass Watt tour because I'm going to have a new Missing Men album. And I will do more Canada.
Yeah, you got to come up here
I know,
more.
This is fucking ridiculous. It was so easy. I did all the stuff. I didn't even have to get out of the boat. The guy at the booth handled everything. It's Canada's made it much more common than you for U.S. people. Now, unfortunately, I heard it's not that way for you guys coming over here.
No, it's tough. It's tough.
Like, you got to make this letter that kind of sells you why you should be able to come here and stupid shit like this.
Yes, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, some Canadian friends of mine told me such. And then the boat, you have to put up a lot of bones, too. So I don't.
Well, that you got to do for sure. That's a definite thing, yeah. So a lot of people in America wonder why we don't tour very often there and you know, what gives, you know, and they don't know the red tape involved behind the scenes.
Right. And I don't know, man. That's kind of silly. What are they afraid of? Competition.
I think it's completely silly. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I got something live from here. You guys doing first date? You are my woman? Question mark. Let's listen.
Thanks for clapping. This isn't even the beginning of a song. We're just trying to get everybody clapping. The next song actually starts with some bass guitar. I'm glad to see everybody clapping. And by everybody, I mean one-fifth of the crowd, but that's all right.
Yeah.
can be broken. Like a shield of protection, this bond of ours is unspoken. Every time I see your face, I always know my place. With my arms wrapped around you, a kiss just in case.
What would cause the destruction of a universe? The palpitation of so many levels at the extreme juncture of things with the result of a really big bang. Welcome to the life cycle of things. Just another daily routine, really just a spat along the highway. The superhighway of the universe is the collision of the Big Bang Theory, a rolling mistake in the cosmos. So much hatred on our little Earth, it really means nothing at all. Everything will be wiped out eventually. So many chances, but only one available. One at a time, my friend. Let's not spoil our one chance. But it all seems so meaningless, a dot on a fuzzy screen. Your hatred is blown away into smithereens of meaninglessness because you are only one chance out of many. All kinds of levels of universes means ours is so tiny. Now go and search for meaning. But back to blowing it. Maybe it was meant to be anyways. Just another step in the process, this 12-step confessions of the universe, and another destructive binge, particular to the process of drying out, the casting off of evil habits into the true process of things, to know your dimension in the universe, and the universe in your dimension. Know with that what gives and takes in the third world semi-dimension, shifted away infinite times, lost, tossed in a planetary shelf, in a regular process, of course, a love, a life, a laugh, a world. Just comes and goes, I guess. That's the way life is. One day you've got it, and the next day you're history.
Red onion. Do you see zebra stripes? Or the tuft where it was topped? Palpate the new feeling. Long-necked, warm-breasted, like a mourning dove. Name it coffee, white, anything but loneliness.
Lesson, right?
Watt for Pedro show. Yeah, that's the Denko doing first date. You are my woman live. Something brand new from Huma, Eva. Joe Brewer, that Jack Brewer from Sacred Trust, cousin Madison. He sent me another, I don't know, 30, 40 poems. Some Big Bang. 21 Vec out of Skopje with my Macedonian here, forgive me. Ulica Po Ulica. Yeah, maybe not so bad. Jaded Azurite's Breakup. Bass Bones. Karen Schober. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal with By the Numbers. Trask Ashpick, first new music in over 20 years. At World's End. His Name is Alive. He's got brand new stuff. Guitar Echo. And finally, The King is Dead. I was asked to play bass on the Cutthroat Brothers' latest thing, and that's a threefer there. Back with Danko Jones, we're talking about, even though their drummer man is Maritime, they've only played Halifax. So he's talking about Prince Edward Island. Like, when I finally get the nerve up to get up to Maritime, we should do it together.
That's what I'm saying, too. We should both do a double bill.
Now what would... You guys would come out of Quebec, you just start driving, right? I mean, how long is the drive?
I think so. We've only played Halifax out there, I think. And when we did, it was a 20-hour deadhead drive, I think. We took a really bad route. After that, we were just going to fly in to do a Halifax show. But if we're doing, like, you know, a bunch of other provinces and cities in them, I don't know. We would probably, I don't know how we'd make our way out there, but yeah, I don't know.
Because there's places in between. It doesn't have to be just a 20-hour hell ride. There are some stops in between.
Yeah, it's just this route. Oh, this is, we're going back like 96.
A little while ago.
Yeah, a little before GPS, and we took this route that was in a book or whatever, used as a way to get to Halifax. And by the time we got to Halifax, everyone in the city was like telling us, you didn't take this route, don't take this route, and that was the route we took. There's apparently another route. I think Halifax people know what I'm talking about. But other than that, yeah. Yeah, it kind of spooked us from, I guess, going back.
Sounds like the Donner Party, you know, they got told the shortcut that ended up not a shortcut in the wrong time of year. And actually, I don't think they started eating on each other. I don't think they found any evidence of that. But there was some starving going on. Man, the Toys That Kill guys, Todd. He's got a label here in Pedro called Recess Records. He told me about his first Canada trip. And before they even got to the border, they ran off the side of the road. There was some Volkswagen bus with no heater in 3 days. He still got, it's like from around those times, 96. He still has frostbite wounds that hurt him from 25 years ago.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. You know, you mentioned how tough it is touring Canada and the No Means No guys. The tour, I think every band should tour Canada because it really determines whether or not you can be a band. It breaks up a lot of bands.
It's a litmus test.
Yeah, it is a test. It's a test to see if you've got the nerve and the strength and the will, the determination to play music if you can tour Canada from end to end.
Yeah. That's saying something, you know. And I just turned 62, and it's time for me to put myself up to that test. I mean, this last tour I did was number 67, but it's not a real tour till I do end-to-end Canada tour.
Yeah, because there's that one, there's a few drives that last for over 20 hours to get to the next city, and so, you know, it's a test to see if you've got the stamina for it, but also, you know, to see if you guys can get along in the van.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
One guy's driving you nuts, or some guy's playing music you don't like, et cetera, et cetera.
I remember, you know, I did a tour with the Tab Falco, and his solution to that was, no music. And once I met Sam Henry, you know, the drummer on the first Wipers album, and I said, what was it like to be in the Wipers? And he said, well, you know, Greg Sage, rule number one, no laughing in the van.
Oh, my God.
I know. And I think rule number two is Greg did all the driving. It was about 35 miles an hour.
You know, it's interesting in rock and roll when people talk about bands breaking up and, oh, how tragic that was that they could have kept going. And you would think it's because this guy, you know, was a mean guy to that guy and these guys and all this crazy drama. But in reality, the reason a lot of bands break up is because one guy just can't stand how the other guy chews his food.
I was going to say something like that. That's one reason why I don't eat with my men.
You know, it's a small, it really is as small as that. Embarrassingly so you never hear the stories.
Yeah.
The real truth.
It becomes that little tiny shit that just starts grinding on you.
Yeah, I just don't like
how he sucks his fingers after he gets done eating them ribs one more time.
Yeah, exactly. And if he puts that seatbelt on the way that he does when we get in the van, I'm going to knock him out. You know, like that is really what makes or breaks bands, I think.
So with all these tours, do you ever write songs while you're touring?
I'd say 95% no, but the songs that we've written on the road at a sound check or what have you in a dressing room have lasted. They've actually, you know, become part of the set a lot of the time. But I can really count them on one hand.
Okay, so... Well, what do you do? Do you make demos at home and show them to the guys?
Yeah, the usual. Well, we've just started, you know, really just starting to work on the next record. And so what usually happens is, yeah, I'll amass a bunch of riffs over, you know, a year and a half. And then every time we meet up in the practice space, I'll bring four or five and I'll just kind of shoot them at them. And if anybody bites, if they like it, then we go further. But the trick is to not get married to the riffs too much to the point where you have to crowbar it onto the album because you're just married to it now. So I try not to like over listen to the riffs. I try not to get attached to it too much. And that way, if no one really likes it, I have no, you know, vested interest past, you know, showing it to them.
What about the trying it out in front of people first? Like, for example, I did this tour in December. It was only 5 gigs, but it was right before recording an album. And man, the first gig was so terrible because I didn't know the tunes really. But by that fifth one, the next day when we went into the studio, man, was it easy to do the recording. And you know, a lot of times, I mean, going back to Minutemen days, we never really got to, you know, play the album before we recorded it. Have you ever, you know, I'm, can you relate to what I'm trying to say here, Daniel?
You know, absolutely, because it was years before we put out our first studio album. And so there was years of us just like, we write a song on Wednesday and we play it on Saturday. And if it got a great reaction, then it would find its way into the set. And then by the time we went into the studio to record it, we were playing it with relative ease. Unfortunately, these days, factors have changed that setup because, A, we don't really we kind of take a break, you know, and write without playing shows, and the digital age with phones and everyone recording stuff, we don't want it out there if it's not fully realized. So it's kind of gotten complicated in that sense.
Oh, so you don't want to play it in front of people before you release it?
Well, just in case someone, you know...
Yeah, right, everybody's got recording, yeah, with their fucking leashes and shit. And then you hear the YouTube.com recording, and it's terrible. Right?
It's terrible, and it's even to the point where, like, the album is recorded, the album has been released...
Yeah.
But because, you know, like you're saying, we just never got a chance to play it live before we released it, past our, you know, rehearsal room or the studio rehearsal room. When we finally get to play it live, sometimes it's in front of a lot of people. And there's videos on YouTube where, you know, especially this one song where it took me about a year for me to get my breathing right, to sing it and play it at the same time. And so the first few times we played it, the comments on the YouTube comments of people watching the video going, you know, you should really practice. And they don't realize it's the second time I'm playing it live.
Yeah, like, right, right, kind of, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. That is the kind of thing. But this idea of, I mean, okay, here's the way I look at it. You got to do the prac in the prac pad before you bring it to people. But playing it actually in front of people, my experience has taught me that's kind of the real prac.
That is, it is.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean? Because if you clam in a prac pad, no one sees it. And you ain't got to work a room. You ain't got to, you know, write a vibe or stuff. It's kind of your way. But a gig is a real test, right?
Yes. It's scary. I mean, I think on these West Coast dates, there is one song we have never played live, and I think we're going to play it. And that means I'm going to have to go through that song about 20 times on my own, just so I can step on stage and get to that point where maybe it's the equivalent of having a couple of shows under your belt. So it's not the same. Playing it in your practice space between each other is you can play it 50 times and it doesn't equal one live show playing it in front of live people, you know?
I totally agree. But you do got to do that prac, because when it comes to playing in front of people, oh my God, you got to have something. But yeah, it's still not the whole dealio. It's not the whole dealio. That's why I don't really call it rehearsal. I've yet to hear a basketball player say, I'm going to go to the gym and rehearse some shots. Right? You're either practicing, you're either taking them or you ain't.
It's true, yeah. I
know it's a semantic fucking thing, but it kind of bugs me sometimes. But there's something about that, and really got shown to me in December with this MSSV project. I was... Man, just playing the five gigs before going into the pad. Now, it was different than a Watt thing. I was helping another man's proj, but it was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for the next Second Man record, Missing Man record. Right before, I'm going to do five gigs. And even if they stink it up, it's going to somehow help the record. I don't know. I know. I'm going to try it out.
Well, you know what we do to make up for it is kind of like a middle ground. Is play it at soundcheck. So you're still playing it in front of the club sound man, maybe some of the loaders there, maybe the promoters there, maybe the opening band is there, maybe their friends are there. There's a crew of about 5 to 15 people, and you kind of do it for the bodies in the room.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, last day of January 2020. Brother Danko, special guest. Hold tight for hour two. January 31, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
You look so good when you get out of bed. You're always ready to go. I catch you looking like a million bucks when you walk out the door. Down the street, hanging off from my arms. You shake, they shiver, and you laugh out loud. You know when to turn on the charm. Nobody minds it, man, they like it a lot. When you up and down the strip, you get away with most anything, especially when you lick in your lips.
Maybe I'm dreaming, but at least it's not a nightmare. The war is with yourself. You know you don't fight fair. I'm light years ahead of the game. Kiss my ass while you behind. I think I am, so I am. They say it's all in your mind. My real life was boring, so I was brainstorming. Balling, but ain't scoring. Focused on making fortunes. Lord, when will I ball? Is it before the world end? Everything happens for a thought. I think I deserve it then. Life's a... I wanna... Am I perverted then? Love is pain, I think I love her, so I'm a hurter then. I'm just trying to get my piece of the pie that aligns me with the stars in the sky. Every thought has an energy, which makes the philosophy possibly the reason you able to make your dreams come true. The main obstacle in life, surviving. And I'ma make sure that you can hear me like Verizon. I used to put in work, but now I'm just hiring. Keep them devils at an arm's distance. Eyes me. You look for handouts, claiming your network. I took a different route. I use my network. It's the garbage man, and other rappers just garbage. Plus they lying in their raps. Kind artists. Make me sick just to mingle with these niggas. Give me double the cash, I write singles for these niggas. The top on the car drops. I'm on top, it won't drop like I'm afraid of heights. Looking down on city lights, can't wait till I get big. Like a skinny brother with a complex. I take this rapping serious like TSA take bomb threats. I ain't from outer space. I'm still a star though, I wrote a love letter. She wrote me back a card, nope. She wants a businessman, she wants to be my company. It's lonely at the top, so she can be my company. I'm underrated. You underpaid and slow money gets left behind like you flunked the grade. Money bars, my notepads, is money on my books. The mixtape is bait just to get you hooked. So nobody buying your album on iTunes, cause everybody bumping Bro DeWine at iTunes. This is poetry in motion with sound waves. I just let it flow like an ocean. Antagonized world, I'm inorganically detached. I bet you never thought you'd see an alien that raps. Now up until now was in the world of triple darkness. Now let there be lights on the mic. I'm an arsonist in the form of my self-created man. The flow hot, that's why they call my offspring my fans. Permitted by law, the world is putty in my hands. Ceramics, motivated by righteous dynamics. I cut the negatives off like an aneurysm. Develop self-discipline and good mannerisms. Allah wax bar, 360 degrees. The Lord of the worlds of the God MC. If I'm a dead man walking, no regrets. And if I die, then I'm just another Malcolm X. I wish you would doubt me. Open your Bible. Isaiah wrote a book about me. I be in the heat of battle. It's all mental. The aftermath gets manifested through my physical reality. They still caught up in that fiction. In a world of aberration. Self-contradiction. I give them knowledge of themselves. You ain't under my spell. Then you must be overwhelmed. Game over. When I'm prayed up, it's like I ain't sober. Natural high up before the sun. No hangover. I make them pay attention like it's charity. It's your day of judgment, my moment of clarity. I'm scientific with these lyrics. These ain't metaphors, this is more metaphysics. If I'm a dead man walking, no regrets. And if I die, then I'm just another Michael X. The main endeavor was to bring out the best in me, but enemies wanna bring out the beast. But when it's time to feast, guess what I'ma eat? Satan bacon, hybrid meat, no swine flu, just swine flow, I'm that sick with it. Knew his ass was nosy, then he went and put his lips in it. Sabotage, now it's wartime, camouflage with your fake ass. Nicki Minaj, trying to learn it all overnight. That's funny, life is only a crash course for a crash dummy. They say we living in the time of judgment, but didn't tell us that our homeboys was the judges. Dug a hole 6 feet deep before religion. Can't take instruction or indirect criticism. If I'm a dead man walking, no regrets. And if I die, then I'm just another Malcolm X.
our show, we started off the second hour with Danko Jones doing my little R&R. Now, this was called the Pile Sessions. You did it live, but it was at a radio station?
Oh, maybe it's a different recording it's not the studio recording.
Well, it was like you guys were in a studio, but you were playing live, and it was called, it said in the YouTube.com info, Pile Sessions.
Oh, yeah.
P-Y-L-E-S.
Yeah, we did a radio show out in San Diego.
Okay.
Gosh, I think it was 2 years ago.
Some guy named Pyle?
Homer Pyle? Yes.
Of course, when we were boys, we used to call it Gomer's Pyle.
Yeah, I can't remember the actual
Paul Letters.
Its first name, but it's the Pyle Sessions. That's it's named after his last name.
Okay, yeah, because it's got a Y.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I think you guys have C in front of your stations. Ours is, if you're west of the Mississippi, it's got a K. If you're east, it's a W.
Yeah, yeah, we're C from coast to coast,
you guys,
I believe.
Are C's, yeah. And Mexico is X's, because that's ZZ Top. You heard on the X? Because they had massive transmitters, you know.
I didn't know that. I did not know that's where it's from.
Yeah, it's a Lightning Hopkins lick, but the words are about the Mexican. Well, Wolfman Jack, his show was on, like, in Tijuana or something, so they could broadcast really far. This is like 60s, old days, 70s. Then we had Andrea Vita out of Berlin doing Wiccan. DJ Wrights, Malcolm X, 66 Est from Alexander DeLarge Philharmonic Orchestra. That's out in Milano. And from Australia, Mod Vigil, Automatic Remote. You've been to Australia, right?
Yeah, we were just there in September.
And how many times? You've been there a bunch?
Oh, not too many,
not
but
too much,
three times.
Because do you go back to the Big Day Out days? It was this huge festival. They called it the Big Day Off because it was like 5 gigs in 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, we never played Big Day Out. We did Soundwave.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, they had a big problem with the fires. Whew.
Oh yeah, it's still going, and you know, there's been other
animals.
Things.
A billion animals.
It's crazy. I mean, it's it's beyond words. I have really nothing. I know it was raining. It started to rain last week.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I just hope everything's, you know, getting better for everyone in Australia. But it's tough. Yeah.
I remember as a boy I would read antipods. No, antipodes.
Right.
So you like, okay, so you're saying like practice songs, but do it for the crew. Do it for whoever's there at soundcheck time.
Yeah, that way you can at least kind of get some sort of live feeling playing this new song, you know, you guys haven't played before.
Right.
So I kind of zone everyone out when we're doing sound check and just kind of focus on, you know, whether I can hear myself in the monitors. Sure. But when we're doing a new song, I kind of focus outward and try and pretend that they're paying attention, whether they are or not, you know, and see if we can, you know, pull it off at a sound check.
Well, you know, you made a lot of records. Now, were some of those records that were totally written in the studio and never got to be played in front of people?
Kind of. I mean, by the time we hit the studio where we've got the songs we're playing, we know them front to back, we could probably play them very well. That is the time where we can play the new songs the best in front of people almost seamlessly.
Because you've been tracking them for
Yeah, but you know, there's such a time between finishing the recording and going on tour to promote it that by the time that happens, I've forgotten how to play the new song. So
you know, we're talking about that, about you having a, you know, of course in the studio you can sing separate from playing guitars, but you've never thought of, you like this idea of the trio, because some guys they'll bring support guys, right? Dudes who aren't really in the band, but they'll help you out by playing, what, like a shadow guitar, rhythm guitar or something?
Yeah. session guys.
Yeah, you've always been shy away from, you'd rather struggle and learn it as a trio in front of people.
Oh, yes. I mean,
yeah, I'm with them too.
Sometimes you kind of wish, why don't we just make a phone call and we can be out of here sooner? But nope, you got to just stick with it. And I'm only going to write a guitar part that I can play. It's impossible for me to write something that I can't play, because I just don't have the chops to do that. I can't write beyond my ability.
I'm thinking of a Canadian band, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, okay.
Right? And Randy Bachman was in The Guess Who, of course.
Yeah.
You could tell he would write parts with a rhythm guitar part and a lead guitar part, right? Which, yeah. If you're in a trio, if you're Billy Gibbons, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm no Billy Gibbons on guitar, that's for sure. I'll record the rhythm guitar tracks.
I think you play pretty good, Danko. I like your guitar playing.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I do take a lot of cues from Billy Gibbons. Like, he's my favorite guitar player.
God, I got to... Really? Wow.
Yes,
I just yanked that out of my ass, but I got to meet him once. I mean, especially Trace Ombres. We love that album.
Oh, I've met him 3 times.
Whoa.
And all 3 times, I can walk away saying that he was cooler than cool.
Yeah, beautiful. Did you meet Frank and Dusty, too?
I met Dusty once. And but Billy, I've met 3 times, including like a one-on-one sit-down in his dressing room.
Damn.
Once. Yeah.
You know, they've been together as a trio. I don't think only Four Tops has been together without, switching a dude. Like over 45 years or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play Baby Hates Me here.
Situation, our always sit in time. got a letter from the government yesterday. They asked me to spit into a cup and send it back to them so they could know where I come from.
Family tree. tequila, grapefruit soda, and jalapeno ice. Early in the evening, darkness starts to rise.
For Pedro Show, that was Danko doing Baby Hates Me live. Brand new from Mario DeSandro up the city. But I think he's moving down here. Necessary Change. Zigzags and Fallout. Second Man did a split. What do you call a 33 7-inch? EP. Okay. DMF with Red Wings. Johnny, I saw last week. He's going to be making music again, but on drums. M.B. Jones out of Pusan, My Genealogy, his new science fiction cassette. The Healers out of Illinois, near Indiana. I Want to Be a Dog, kind of antithesis of Ig. They gave Ig a lifetime, the Hammies gave him a lifetime award, but they didn't show it on the TV.
I saw something online about that. Yeah.
Isn't that lame? It's fucking. Well, that's why I called them the hammies. And then Dan Jones and Squinza, Kansas City, Missouri, tequila grapefruit soda. Sounds terrible. So, as far as crew, when you go on the road, do you take a big crew?
It depends on the tour.
For example, this one.
Yeah, so this one we've just got one guy with us. Who's going to kind of do double duty and do guitars and stage. And JC, our bass player, he's going to do tour managing duties.
Yeah.
But then when we do like a full kind of European headlining tour, we've got a tour manager, a sound person, stage tech guy, and a merch guy. In past years we've done we've taken out a lighting guy too, but usually it's just those four spots and the three of us.
A lighting guy.
Yeah, yeah, so we usually don't, but
bigger pads, you know, right? And I've seen on the videos you got a kind of a thing behind you. What do you call that? A banner?
Yeah, like a backdrop.
Backdrop,
yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering about, so those got to kind of be for a bus, because how do you roll that up and get it in the boat? I mean, in the van.
I know, those take up a whole Pelican case on their own.
Yeah, I was just going to say, huge kind of dealio. But, you know, when it's your turn to play, especially at festivals, people don't know who you are. Those things make a lot of sense, I think.
It does, especially if it's like, you know, filmed and then posted later on.
Sure.
Someone in, you know, wherever who wasn't at the show and they see it, they're also wondering who you are.
Who you are. We're at the end of the second hour, last day of January 2020. Dankl Jones, hold tight for hour three. January 31st, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
I'm sick of waiting, waiting, yeah. We're only playing, and now We'll be right back.
Watt for Pivo show. We started the third hour off with Danko Jones doing Had Enough. And then Zobodrum El Jefe, Waste of Space with Empress, and another, which was like some predecessor to a tragic comedy here at Pedro. And then Richard Garrick, late great Richard Garrick with Another Umbrella and Better Things to Do. So you said you're bringing one song on this little string of dates here. So you got plans for an album coming up?
Well, no, we plan really far in advance. We've just started to throw ideas around. So it's really at the gestation period right now.
But you've just stated one, two.
Yeah.
Okay, and play it out for people. And so you haven't even thought about where you're going to do it? Or
no, and then, of course, if, we try it out and someone makes a giant mistake, we're going to get too spooked to play it.
you know what? You've always been kind of a song-oriented guy. But have you ever thought of doing the fucking opera, the whole album trip story?
Like from beginning to end kind
of
thing?
Yeah, like The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway or A Quick One Ways Away, that kind of stuff.
No, it's just, never. No.
I had to ask it.
Yeah, I'm more into just, 3 minutes and that's it. Move on to the next thing.
So your albums are collections of songs. You never want... There's other highfalutin words for it, like a song cycle or a concept album.
Concept record, yeah. No, never a concept. The concepts remain in a 3 minute...
Yeah, rock and roll. Right.
Yeah.
That's the concept. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I was just thinking, well, maybe Danko gets his idea on his mind that's too big for one fucking tune. He's got to make a whole album out of it.
No, that'll never happen.
Who was the guy? There's some Canadian guy. The guy with his hands up against the star.
Oh, Rush.
2112. Yeah. My buddy Tony took me to see that in the 70s. Pool cleaner friend of mine.
Yeah, actually, Neil Peart from Rush, the drummer, passed away a few
weeks
ago.
That's right. And he wrote the words, right?
Yeah, he was the wordsmith there, yeah.
And, I don't think it was a whole album. I think it was half the album. But I got to tell you, I fell asleep. I mean, it was in the 70s. It was an arena gig, and it was a long time ago. But then a friend of mine wanted to see them. This lady, her boyfriend liked them a lot, so they were coming around maybe 10 years ago, and I knew the boss who was downtown L.A. They're having gigs there nowadays, and I said, okay, I can get you in, and we'll see this, and I fell asleep again like 30 years apart. Now, I don't know if it was the same tune. I mean, they could play really good. In fact, I got to meet those guys because Les Claypool, I opened up for a Primus tour, and he loves them dudes, and I got to meet them. And they were really in Toronto. In fact, we were playing the Maple Leaf place, but it was the old timey when the Leafs played there a long time ago.
Yeah, Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah. Okay. Really old timey. And really sweaty. It was summertime.
I've actually seen Rush at Maple Leaf Gardens myself. So.
Okay, that's where I met them. Really nice guys.
Yeah.
And man, could they play it. People told me about that drummer, man. He has incredible heaviness, like cancer killing his wife, killing his daughter.
He had a rough life. Yeah, it was tough there. There's tragic events with his wife and his daughter. And then I think in the later period of his life, he remarried and, they never lost any popularity. They just kept to themselves.
His body, right? He couldn't play drums anymore.
He had a form of brain cancer. But before that, I think he had retired due to the fact that, to be a drummer, I think it takes way more physicality than the other posts in a band.
Yeah, absolutely. Georgie told me it was like balancing on your fucking tailbone.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I think he just wasn't able to compete with his, 25-year-old self anymore.
Well, yeah, I heard that's what Keith Emerson problem he had. He ended up shooting himself. Now, I mean, me and you, we're getting down the road a little bit, right? And what have you got? I always thought, or when I read that about Keith Emerson or this stuff, I would change. I would want to keep playing, but maybe I have to play different.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of, I think guitarists and bass players, we have a little longer life when it comes to that. But singers, the voice changes over time, absolutely. And aging changes it. Yeah. So, yeah, whatever happens, I guess I'm going to have to roll with whatever punch, you know.
Kurt told me once, nodes like basketballs. Or maybe that was Chris. One of those guys was telling me about singing high all the time. Yeah, you get notes like basketballs. Fucking hanging on your chords. And here, I want to play, take it. You had a big jam I found live called Mountain. Of course,
yes.
I helped the first time I helped guys was a Porno for Pyro, and they had something called Mountain Song. So that was the last.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the real name of that song is Bring on the Mountain.
Oh, okay. Let's hear
Become the Mountain.
Oh,
Bring
Become
on the Mountain, and then Become the Mountain.
Okay, here we go. people were talking off air about what do we do if, like, these kind of things come on you that the journey of life brings. And Brother Danko was just saying his skill is a singer. So what happens when the changes come? I guess you deal with the hand that's dealt, right?
Well, if I can make a recommendation to you, that would to happen to you, Watt, you hit it out of the park when you guest starred in our video for Full of Regret.
Oh, the bartender.
You, we were looking at each other off camera. You were doing your thing, and while you were doing your thing, all of us were like looking at each other, just going like mouthing the word "wow."
So you should get into acting.
Yeah, wow, you hit it out of the park.
Okay. So there's my Bravo. There's my Plan B.
There's your Plan B right there.
Thank you so much, Dan. I take that to heart. We heard Take It to the Street from Mold Omen out of Baltimore. Radical Empathy Trio, which has got Nels Klein and with Tullum and Collective Tunnels Part 2. The drummer man, I forgot the name, and I should be cursed forever for that. Because drummer men are the heart of the band. Don't take them for granted. And then Mountain Live, which was... it ended up Become the Mountain, but what was the middle name?
Bring on the Mountain.
Bring on the Mountain.
Right. And then in brackets, Become the Mountain.
Become the Mountain. I love that. That's a great idea. And in fact, that's what you're going to do. You're going to come to California and become the Mountain. Do you have gigs outside of here, or is it just this state?
We're just going to California and heading back home.
So like a February tour. You're going to leave Canada in February. Go to California where all that sun is.
It makes sense. It completely makes sense.
Yeah, of course. that was a lame attempt at a joke there. but really, really bitching. Can I ask you about, I remember the SARS thing in Canada having a rough time with it, what was it, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Do you think with this coronavirus, the same trip?
Well, here's the thing about SARS is my father actually contracted SARS.
Okay.
I've spoken about this before, but so what happened was my mother got an allergic reaction to something she ate. They checked into the hospital, and while they were in the waiting room waiting to see a doctor, the two people that brought SARS to North America were in the same room.
Whoa.
So my father got it, and my mother and I were quarantined for 2 weeks. And we were supposed to do certain things as a band. I couldn't do it. I was in quarantine. And, it was a crazy thing for this city. Was basically Toronto was shut down.
Yeah.
It was a ghost town.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think the city is very prepared for this, but also the coronavirus isn't anywhere near what SARS was. There was a lot more fatalities with SARS.
Okay.
At this stage in the game, when we're speaking, you know, now in late January 2020, as we're speaking, what we've been told is there's less fatalities for coronavirus compared to SARS, and so I think because of SARS, it was definitely made everybody a little bit more prepared, at least in Toronto. And I know that the World Health Organization has labeled coronavirus a world health emergency.
Right.
Now that could scare a lot of people, but what it's more of a strategic thing to do, because I think they're saying a lot of the countries in the world are not taking it as seriously as we are in North America. Okay. So it's kind of in a weird way, it's a way to shock other countries into getting serious about it by labeling it a world crisis.
Sure. Yeah, why not err on the side of being careful?
Yes.
I was just curious. So, God, you have the firsthand experience.
Yeah, really did have the firsthand experience. And my father was quarantined from us, and people were dying. And so we didn't know if we'd even be able to say goodbye. So it was a scary time.
Yeah, very.
But as you know, everything was they basically beat it, or at least with my father, they beat it. He beat it by being given an experimental super dosage of antibiotics.
Okay. And hopefully they're working on a vaccination.
Yeah, I know everybody now with this coronavirus, everybody, all the whole world is kind of geared on, finding a cure.
Sure, sure. Anyway, I didn't mean to tangent like that, but, you know, we're like sailors and we have to travel. And
absolutely. It's a scary, if you were just stationary in your city in North America, I think 99.9999% safe.
Yeah.
But you and I, being that we're travelers, yeah, definitely have to make sure you're protected.
Right.
I always travel as a singer. I always travel with a mask.
Okay.
So on this last flight from Belgium to from Toronto to Belgium, there was a woman who was sitting beside me who had a cough.
Yeah.
And just because I'm a singer, I just whipped out the mask that I always travel with.
Sure.
Or the kind of mask. I always throw it out after the flight.
Yeah.
So I'm always like this, but now because of the coronavirus, the mask that I usually buy is sold out.
Okay.
They're sold out, so.
Yep, scrounge up for that, man. Anyway, I wish you the best of luck with these gigs. I can't wait till after, and I do want to do a Maritime Canada tour with you. And
that
for sure, I want to be on the fucking Danko radio show.
Yeah, and we talked about it last year, and stuff happens, but now we got to do it.
Okay. People, it's been a January 31st, 2020 edition of Wap Peter Show, special guest Daniel Jones. Keep your powder dry.